Yoga and Anger, part 3. I'm walking down the old railway track. I'm on my own today. So Anna's dulcet questioning will be absent. But we have talked a lot about this. Actually, over years and years and years, really, we've been batting this backwards and forwards, this general area of concern to yoga practitioners and human beings in general. So her questions are in my mind as I try and get together a third part on this topic. Yesterday we decided to expand on the last part of our first talk, in which we hit the how question, or what am I to do about this? What practically can I do? How do I go about letting be with bright awareness? And yesterday we had a bit of a tech glitch. We got a really nice recording, but I think the batteries ran out and it just ended in mid-air, mid-sentence even. Hello.
Hi.
Hi. But that made me realise, actually, that we'd only, even in this revisiting, skimmed the surface of this question. Letting be with bright awareness, what is it? How do you go about it? And usually when I'm faced with the how question, I usually say no how. Okay, I see so many people and read about so many people and hear the testament of so many people who get locked into the how, locked into the very idea that there's a methodology. The how question actually is wrong from the start, because it presupposes something we can't presuppose. That there is a how. There is a how to human living. There are some algorithms that we can apply, but following a rule or a regime of practice which is delineated minutely can actually lead somewhere useful and beneficial to human beings. All this is presumed by the how question. I actually think you have to ask this prior question: is there a how? And I've pondered this greatly and practiced a lot, as you know. I'm not saying that makes me an infallible oracle. It certainly doesn't. But it seems to me, on the basis of a long experience, a lifetime experience, that a specific program of practice produces a result. It's kind of an input-output scenario. And that, as I said yesterday, the e-thing, enlightenment, whatever that might be, the beatitude of yoga, the blessing of meditation, is not a result of anything. It's prior to any results. It's that primordial to existence as such. It's not dependent on anything. And the result of a practice is actually just a cultural artifact, just as the practices themselves are cultural artifacts. And cultural artifacts always remain locked in the grand narrative or the grand narratives that are organising a particular culture. It never gets into the realm of the sublime, simply because it's a method and an algorithm. And that the actual experiences which announce beatitude fall under the category of the sublime, if they're going to fall under any category. And even that's to say too much. So I'm saying that our sublime moment comes out of something about us, about being human, that's not circling inside this realm of doing things and applying methods and following programs and following a rule. Now, historically, spiritual practice has almost always been within the realm of certainly the medieval Christian church called a rule. So you have the rule of Benedict, the rule of Francis, the rule of Saint Ignatius Loyola. And these are actual routines for people in monastic settings to follow. And we have similar things in all the world's spiritual cultures, where nostrums are applied and programs are rigorously adhered to. To my mind, saying it again, it's all second hand. It's all second hand. And I certainly recommend a practice of orientating oneself to life in a particular way, and to the unfolding of one's particular life and one's particular destiny. So in this sense, everything's practice. If it's met in a certain way, every event in a life is practice if we meet it and face it and are open to it in a particular way. And that particular way, it's very hard to summarise, because it's not a method. It would be a poor thing if it was a method. This makes it pretty elusive. And difficult to grasp. I think I would go so far as to say that it's ungraspable. If you can grasp it, it's not it. So this obviously creates problems for people who are attempting to address some kind of distress around so-called negative emotions. You know, people find it deeply impractical to talk to somebody like me, who keeps saying, well, there isn't a how, actually. And I suppose they say back to me, well, what are you doing? You're supposed to be a fucking teacher. Well, actually, I'm not. And what goes on when somebody extends a helping hand to somebody else? What goes on is, if it's going to be authentic, meaningful, effective, isn't an instance of teaching. It's not about telling somebody what to do. The trouble with telling people what to do is it falls into a power dynamic. Which there's the one with the knowledge power and the one without the knowledge power. And the one without the knowledge power better just damn well submit and surrender to the one with the knowledge power and become his bitch. And that's the only hope. I mean, it's so obviously a fucking scam. It absolutely astonishes me that people fall for it over and over again. So, it's not that, and there's reasons why we want to avoid that. Actually, good practical reasons why you want to avoid that. You want to be your own person. The whole point of trying to get to grips on your anger is that you want to be your own person. Some people think that kind of line is an apology for ego, but actually it isn't. The understanding behind that assertion, that human beings should be their own person, is that if you're going to talk about what a perfidious thing ego is, it's usually the claim is usually made in relation to a notion that we're all really part of the one, and that is that we should operate in life as parts of the one, in full recognition of our oneness with the one, and that precludes ego, which is predicated on the complete separateness of the individual. Now, I'm wanting to say, if you're going to talk about oneness, you want to be a bit fucking careful. Because if there is not two ever in the universe, then there is then multiplicity, the fact that the world is filled with fucking individuals, individual human beings, multiplicity and oneness, the fact that we are actually all one big thingy, the one, the absolute, that these are not two either. Multiplicity and oneness are not two. And how this works is, if you actually realise your oneness, make real by the word realise. If you understand in your bones and through your experience and through an ever-present presentiment that you are the one, you will at the same time fully realise that you are absolutely, totally, uniquely individual. Your DNA will never be repeated. Your personal history, which is informing your consciousness now, will never be repeated. You are utterly unique. And the realisation of uniqueness actually is potentiated by the realisation of the oneness. Because one and many are not two. If we're going to be absolutely strict about the not two metaphysics, we have to realise that its implication is that we become our own persons and not the fucking robotic zombie slaves or some beady-eyed guru on a power trip. Methods, of course, falls into this power dynamic, because there's the one giving out the method and the one using the method and the one supervising the use of the method and the one trying to get the use of the method right, all to lead to a result that's just another cultural artifact like Coca-Cola. And of course this whole thing gets tangled up in markets, in buying and selling, because people don't feel so great very often and feel tormented by their negative emotions. If you can claim that you've got some sort of panacea, you can set up a market stall. And this happens, and this is what's going on, as far as I can see. But yeah, the actual practical thing, letting be your bright awareness, so elusive. But actually, how not elusive. I mean, stuff's happening to you when you're asleep, when you're in a deep, dreamless sleep. And you don't know it, there's no bright awareness, there's certainly a letting be. Actually, every night you go to sleep, you let be. Maybe you have a little prayer to Jesus that he'll look after you and that you will wake up in the morning, but of course, you may not. But there's no bright awareness. But in the daytime, if you're not befuddled by intoxication or just in the turmoil, if there's a bit of clarity, the bright awareness is there. It's in, just simply in a relaxed meeting of the unfolding of experience. It's as simple as that. It really is. And this letting be with bright awareness is something that can very quickly become second nature to you most of the time. And when you do encounter inside yourself, either in your daily business, in amongst your daily business, or on your meditation cushion, something that we've called like a negative emotion, something we'd rather not have, anger, hatred, fear. But actually that hatred is not hatred, and that fear is not fear, and that anger is not anger. Everything devolves to energy, because a bright awareness decrystallizes all of our crystallizations. You can actually observe this. Just next time you get angry, be with yourself. And you just see this fire rising up. don't do anything. Acting out's deadly. Acting out's deadly because it creates consequences than the acting out of negative emotions. Yeah. All right. Brings on waves of chaos and unpredictable response from the world, and you don't want it. Seriously, you don't want it. That's why we call them negative emotions. It's not that we have to get moral or anything about it. We just have to be a bit practical. So if you get if it's anger or fear, whatever it might be with it. Be there with it. But not only with it. This isn't cold witness consciousness. This isn't that. You don't want to be a tourist in your own psyche. You want to have your life, you want to live your life. You want to be your own person and you want to live your life. As I say, can be with it, can be with what's happening to you. Maybe a wave of anger is coming over. If you can be with that, even better, if you can be into it in that hippie fashion, in that dissolving into the stream, in that dissolving into the music, in that being carried along by the music in the most delightful way, you find that, yep, anger is energy. It's raw life energy. It's managed to get itself kind of trapped in a bit of a form or a methodology, you know, or a cultural artifact. And that's where the suffering comes in. That's why it causes us to suffer. It's all kind of cheap and tawdry, really. But be with it authentically. Be into it. Be so with it that you're into it. And then life unfolds and you can meet it however difficult it gets, and you can meet it as a unique expression of the whole.